Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we're considering together the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I pointed out many times, these books were written to a young church. They are written, even as Paul did on his missionary journeys, they're written as part of a group of books we call the travel epistles. He was writing fresh to some of these young churches he had just established, just recently established, churches that were in danger. Paul had been chased out of these cities many times by persecution and had to leave. Even though he left co-workers behind, there was danger that some of these churches would go astray, that they would not follow the Lord as they should. And as we have considered the book of 1 Thessalonians, we have noted Paul's strong commendation for these people. You're going to see this again, as I've mentioned before. You're going to see this again in the book of Philippians, where again and again he commends, chapter 1 and chapter 4 especially, he commends the Philippian believers. These people in Macedonia, that is the northern part of that eastern side of Europe, the first people Paul reached after he received the Macedonian vision in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. These were the first people he reached, the people of Philippi, Thessalonica, and then later Berea, also in Macedonia. But these people were spiritual people, but they still had needs. And we've talked about some of these needs. They still had room to grow in the Lord Jesus. They still had room to have better understanding of the faith they had embraced. But as far as purity and holiness were concerned, these people were set on the Lord. Now, we've come now down to chapter 4 of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've been discussing the whole idea of purity and holiness before God. And I've tried to emphasize this in the last two lessons. I don't want to take too long of a time on this subject, but it's a very important subject for the Christian life, the subject of purity and holiness. The subject was begun in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 13. It began there, at the very end of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And it began with these words, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father." And so, the first eight verses now of chapter 4 are dealing with this subject. And I want to very quickly finish our discussion of the subject of holiness, but I don't want to do it carelessly. I don't want to finish it carelessly. It is an important subject. And if you look into your life and you are not set on living a pure, holy, righteous life before God, then you need to examine your heart very carefully before God. And you need to ask yourself, what choices have I made that are wrong? And why is it then my life is not set on purity and holiness? I speak to young people, for instance. There may be some young people listening to this very broadcast. And I speak to young people. Many times, by the time they're 20 years of age, their lives are wasted because of sin in their lives. Even they're wasted because of lust that they have endured, or lust that they've suffered from. Girls bearing children out of wedlock and so forth. And this is not God's desire. Some of them are professing Christians. They have to confess this before God, before the church, as Christians, and they're ashamed because their lives are wasted by the time they're 20. And so this is not God's will. Whether you're young people or whoever you are, we are to be holy before God. Now let me read a passage of Scripture for you, and then we're going to continue this subject. I want to read down to verse 12. Let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 4 and read down to verse 12. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Notice that phrase, please God. That should be our desire in life. Verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, even as we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given to us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I should write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase, or excel, even more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Now, I want to stop our reading right here. Let's go back now for a few moments to this subject of holiness. So we noted that we are to possess our lives in holiness and purity before God. This would be the first interpretation of this phrase, possess your vessel in holiness and purity before God. This is your individual life. This is indicated, and this is emphasized, in fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. But in this particular passage of Scripture, we believe it is referring to the holiness and the purity of your marriage relationship. In other words, once I am married to my wife, once she is married to me, we are to keep a pure, holy relationship. This means there will be no outside attractions, nothing to attract our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, nothing. There will be no outside attractions for us. We will be devoted and committed completely to the one to whom God has led us. I remember when I was married to my first wife. My first wife died in the year 2000 at the very beginning. And then Mom Joyce became my wife in the year 2002, in the middle of the year. But I remember being married to my first wife. We were totally, totally committed to each other. We were married for 41 years. There were no outside temptations for us. And that was the way God wanted it to be. So we're to possess our vessel, that is our marriage partner, in holiness and in sanctification. We're to live pure, holy lives, and we're to not defraud anyone else. And so this is probably the best interpretation of this passage. Now, in this passage, he's talking about the word sanctification. He repeats this word again and again and again. Three times this word sanctification is used. And this idea of sanctification means purity, purity, purity. I want to emphasize that word again and again. Then in our lives, we are to be pure and holy before God. We're to be separated from sin. But beyond this, we're to be separated living righteous, pure, holy lives. This is what we need to please God. It's also what we need in our testimony to other Christians, and it's what we need in our testimony to the people of the world. Many times, the people of the world are not as impressed by what we say to them as they are by what we are before them, the lives we're living before them. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again and again. So I want to leave now this subject of sanctification, this subject of holiness. But I don't want to leave it carelessly. I want to urge you, if you are not living a pure, holy life, if this is not your desire before God to please God, and this should be the desire of every Christian, now that we belong to Him, to please Him, to honor Him, to make Him happy, in other words, if this is not your desire, my prayer for you would be that you might change and that you might be the pure, holy person God wants you to be. Now, this brings us down to verses 9 to 12. We read this passage when we read the first eight verses of 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, we've come to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 to 12. And the first goal of a worthy walk, he's talking now about goals of a worthy walk. He's not talking about just increasing and abounding. But what goals are we looking for? And what goals are we following? The first goal is love of the brethren. You're going to see this again in the book of 1 John, repeated again and again and again and again. The Apostle Paul, of course, in his epistles, repeats this phrase again and again. But when you study 1 John, almost every chapter, in chapters 1 to 4, is going to emphasize this truth again and again and again, the love of the brethren. And in fact, I think probably I pointed this out before, but let me say it again. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, he says that if you don't have love for the brethren, how can the love of God be in you? That's a phrase he uses. How can the love of God be in you? So it's an indication of a born-again Christian that he's going to love the brethren. He's going to love other people, in other words. Now, we pointed out in a passage before that loving other people, of course, includes the unsaved people as well. But it begins with the Christians, our fellow Christians in the body of believers. How many churches are divided because people don't really love each other? I can remember as a very, very young missionary, some 55 years ago, going to a church where two families were sitting on opposite sides of that church. In other words, the church was a big church, but there were big family clans in that church. And these family clans didn't really get along with each other. And so one clan would sit on one side, the other clan would sit on the other side. And they would come in different doors, they would go out different doors when they came into the church. So you might say they got along, but they didn't especially care for each other. I believe that loving other people is reaching out to other people, not just having a feeling in our hearts of bond with them, affection for them, but is reaching out to them. And this means we reach out to every possible type of person in the body of believers. Sometimes people may be of a different class than ourselves. I don't like to use that word class, but sometimes, you know, some may be a little bit wealthier, some may be very poor, and yet they're all part of the same body of believers. And we need to have the same bond of love and affection and tenderness towards the poor brother as we would have for anyone else, or the brother who might be handicapped in some way. Sometimes people look down on handicapped people. People are disabled in some way or may have some other handicap in their lives. And so then we look down on these people. No, Christians would not do this. They would reach out to everyone. In a young people's group, sometimes young people come to our young people's meetings and they feel left out. No one should be left out because we are to love the brethren. So this is going to be emphasized again and again and again. Now, we note in saying this, he is not scolding them by reminding them of this need, for he speaks of their reputation of practicing love with all of the brethren in Macedonia. We're going to see this in chapter 1, and we're going to see it again now in this passage. He reminds them, yes, they do love other people, but in this goal, they are to increase more and more. They're to excel more and more, never to be satisfied. Am I reaching out enough to people? Yes, I am. No, we're never reaching out enough to other people. There's always something more we can sacrifice on behalf of a brother or a sister in the Lord, something that we could do for them to encourage them and lift them up. Many times people are going through difficulties. They need Christians to stand with them, to stand behind them, so to speak. So he's not scolding them here. He's saying, do not be satisfied. So his goal in mentioning this is that they might excel more and more without being satisfied. And so this is going to be emphasized, as it was in verse 1, again in verse 10. He's going to emphasize this truth. Now, I want to say just a couple of things as I come to the end of this lesson. And that is, we have come from the subject of holiness now into the goals that we are to follow. And in these goals, we're to remember that we are to be honest with people. This is found in verse 12. We're to be honest with people, them that without, and that we may in every way conduct ourselves as befits a true Christian with believers and also with unbelievers. I didn't mention unbelievers in this particular lesson, but I did in the lesson before, that with unbelievers, they are to see in our lives, lives that deeply care for them, lives where there is concern for their soul's salvation. We're not content, in other words, when they are lost in sin. We want to see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and become our brethren in the Lord. Now, I want to stop the lesson right here, but I want to simply urge you, increase, first of all, in holiness before God, and then have the goal before you of excelling, of abounding in love for other people and reaching out to them. May the Lord help you, each one.